Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. We love hearing directly from you, our listeners, so if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and this is your best opportunity to call and speak directly with us here inside the studio at Basic Gospel. That number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and Canada. We want to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let me go ahead and repeat that number, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a question about a particular verse or passage in the Bible, go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. You may have a personal situation that you want help on. We would love to take you into the Word of God and give you some hope and help and wisdom in the Word of God. So again, that number, 844-322-2742. Now, we've been talking about the grace of God this month. We have a great resource called Simply Grace that we want to put in our listeners' hands, and it's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. And you can request that by going to our website right now at basicgospel.net. Click the donate button, and all the information about this resource, Simply Grace, is available right there. And be sure and click the box that says, please send a copy to me, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can. Well, one of the things that you're going to learn about the grace of God is that the grace of God justifies us. It makes us right in the sight of God. Apart from the grace of God, we're not right in God's sight. As a matter of fact, we're under condemnation. We're under wrath. That's how we come into this world, and that's what gets corrected through the gospel message. So in chapter 3 of Romans, we see, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So anyone who believes this gospel is going to receive this gift of righteousness. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that to be true. All of us have sinned, whether Jew or Gentile, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. But, and here's the good news, we are justified freely by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. So what does the grace of God do? The grace of God justifies us. It declares us righteous. The grace of God does a lot, but this righteousness is what gives us right standing with God. This righteousness is what changes us from the inside out. So all of us have sinned. That's a problem. We fall short of the glory of God. That's a problem. We miss the mark of what God has created us to be from the get-go. We've missed that mark because of sin and because of death. But God reverses that through this gift of grace, this gift of righteousness that He bestows upon us by His grace. So, believer, you are right with God. You stand in His righteousness. You have been made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So rest in that. Be thankful for it. You were a sinner. You were saved by grace, and now you are a righteous saint. That's good news.
That is wonderful news. It's the kind of news you hear every day on Basic Gospel. And, of course, we're glad that you're here to hear this good news today. Once again, as Bob said, we have plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. If you have some situation in life you'd like to discuss, perhaps a particular Bible question, this is the best opportunity, if you're hearing the broadcast, to give us a call right now at 4 minutes after 3 o'clock Central Time. Again, 844-322-2742. Once again, I'll reiterate what Bob was saying. We have this wonderful gift for our donors this month. It's the 60-CD set from the Simply Grace Conference. We call it Simply Grace, and that's exactly what it is and what Bob has been describing to you. So once again, make your gift today at basicgospel.net and help us keep the good news coming.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to start right here in Dallas, Texas, and talk with Chris. Chris, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello. I got another one of these crazy questions.
Okay. Well, we'll ask away.
In John, 1 John 2:15.
Yes, sir.
It says, do not love the world, the things of the world. And I call myself loving the ones. That means you're not supposed to love the fucking or to get on Facebook or what exactly does that mean exactly?
Well, it's the world system, and that became operative in the garden when the serpent deceived Eve, and both Eve and Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Those things became operative, and that has become the way of this world in which we live in. And he describes it. It's the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions. Now, when it says to love the world, what it means is that you're looking to those things for your meaning and purpose in life, for your identity. And if you're looking to those things, again, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in the possessions that you own, if you're looking to those things, then you're not going to find meaning and purpose to there. Those are empty. Those look glamorous on the outside, but they're hollow in the inside. So if you're leaning on those for meaning and purpose, you're going to come away empty. You're going to come away missing the mark. So when we come to Christ, we're taken out of this world. We've overcome this world through faith in Jesus Christ. And so now our love is for him. So our affections have been redirected. We were once in love with the world, but now we're in love with Jesus Christ. Why? Because he loved us first, and we're responding to that love. So now as a believer in Christ, we want to protect these minds of ours, and so we want to be guarded on what we put in these minds of ours. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about, you know, are you in love with the world if you watch a television program or if you go on Facebook? You know that your heart has been changed and that your affections are toward Jesus Christ. And when you see things that you know don't fit with who you are in Christ, you recognize that. And that's a good thing. So just recognize, Chris, that if you're saved, and because you're saved, Christ Jesus lives in you. And Christ is going to shine a lot of light on these things that you encounter in your day-to-day life. And that light that he shines on them and is going to tell you, hey, that's not for me. Okay? So trust the living Christ who's living in you. To give you the discernment you need, okay?
That's like where it says, be careful what you see, be careful what you hear, and be careful what you say.
That's right. Allow the Spirit of God to be the source and be the one directing you in those areas of life.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Great to hear from you. Yes, sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. It's Basic Gospel, and it is good to hear from Chris, and we want to hear from you as well. We have open lines at 844-322-2742. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us for Basic Gospel again. That number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Tampa, Florida, and talk with Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, everybody. I apologize. I'm on a cell phone, and it's kind of windy out here. This is our first real chilly day down here in Tampa.
Oh, you just got it, huh?
Yeah, we're finally in the game. I would say it's probably about 68 degrees. Feels a little chillier than that, though. My question for you guys is this. I've heard people say that Jesus isn't the one that's with us, that it's the Holy Spirit, but yet Jesus is God. How would you explain that Jesus is indeed with us?
Well, I think you just go to the Word of God and let the Word of God give that answer. So, for example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So from that verse, we know that Christ has come to live inside of us. Then from the book of Galatians, we see that God has sent his Spirit into our hearts, and it's by him that we cry out, Abba, Father. So we know we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have Jesus Christ in us. And then in 1 John chapter 4, it says that God abides with us. So we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? Why? Because God is one. He's manifested himself in three persons. But when Christ comes to live inside of us, we get the fullness of the Godhead in us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But certainly it's not the body of Jesus Christ, the physical Jesus that has come to live inside of us. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's God the Father himself that lives in us.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And is your book, what is it, Simply Gospel, Simply Grace, is that available as an audiobook download or no?
It is not available as an audiobook as of yet. We do have the electronic version. If you want to read it on a Kindle or something like that, or we can just put you on hold and send you a copy, a hard copy of it. We would love to do that.
Okay, or maybe send me like a PDF version or something like that. I'm totally blind and I use VoiceOver.
Okay. Well, Bobby, let me put you on hold and we'll see how we can get something to you that will be beneficial to you, okay?
Thank you so much, Bobby.
You hang on. Thanks for your call and thanks for your great question. We sure appreciate it.
Friends, want to remind you that Basic Gospel has a growing list of YouTube videos that will encourage and equip you to confidently walk every day in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether about understanding hard Bible passages, learning the true meaning of salvation, how to combat anxiety, or the downward spiral toward depression. Well, these videos by Bob Christopher will help you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ, and they're all there, they're all free for you on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mesquite, Texas, and talk to Rod, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Rod.
Hey, how you doing, my brothers?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
That's great. So I hear you speaking of grace, and I've heard other preachers speaking of grace, and I'm getting like some preachers preach one way, some the other, and I'm getting mixed messages because I know in the Bible it says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then I've heard the other side from preachers saying that we don't need to confess our sins because they were covered at the cross in grace, past, present, and future, before we were ever created, so that we don't need to ask for forgiveness of our sins because that was covered at the cross. And some preachers say that you need to because it's in the Bible and God wants us to confess our sins for forgiveness. So, how does that correlate with each other?
Which is it? Okay. Well, that's a great question, Rod, and I think there's a lot of confusion around that very issue. And let me point you to a couple of verses. Acts 10:43, Peter is giving his sermon to those in Cornelius's household. So he's speaking to some Gentiles. And at the end of it, he says this, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So every person who believes in Jesus Christ receives forgiveness of sins through the very name of Jesus Christ. So Rod, when you believed that gospel message, when you heard about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, your heart responded to that. You called upon the name of the Lord, you received him, and when you received him, you received forgiveness of sins. And he doesn't say that that's just a partial delivery of forgiveness. It's just the total thing. You've been forgiven of all of your sins, past, present, and future. And when you believe Jesus, you received that forgiveness. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul writes this, in him, in Christ. So if you're in Christ, what follows is going to be true of you. So in him, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So, Rod, if you're in Christ, according to that verse, what do you have?
You're already forgiven it. You're cleansed by the blood from the cross, right?
That's right. So you have, present tense, you have redemption, that's freedom, and forgiveness of sins. Those two go hand in glove. So you have forgiveness of sins. In 1 John chapter 2, John writes this, I write to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name's sake. So your sins have been forgiven. Okay? So in Christ, you have forgiveness of sins. In this new covenant that we live in, God remembers our sins no more. Where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus Christ shed his blood one time for all sin, for all time. When you receive him, you receive that forgiveness. You are placed in Christ, and in him you have forgiveness of sins, and all of your sins have been forgiven. That's the good news. So you don't need to confess your sins as a believer to get more forgiveness, to get daily forgiveness. You already have it, don't you?
Yeah, I'm thinking that maybe that statement in the Bible is for non-Christians that are just coming into the kingdom, right? I mean, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you, right?
Well, 1 John 9 really answers 1 John 1:8, and 1:8 says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that's not a Christian. A Christian doesn't say they have no sin. We all say we have sin. That's why we needed a Savior. We know that we needed a Savior. Why? Because we were sinners, because we sin. We know that. That's why we turned to Christ for salvation. But there's a group that says, there was a group back then, and there's a group today that says we have no sin. And anyone who says they have no sin, they're deceiving themselves. And the truth is not in them. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means they're not saved. But if they confess their sins, if they say the same thing about their sins that God does, then they're going to find him to be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. So God is faithful and just whether they confess or don't confess. But when they do, when they agree to the truth, when they see the truth, then they're going to find out the faithfulness of God. So this is a verse, as you said, to unbelievers. And I think the context really bears that out. And it goes on to say in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So verses 8 and 10 show who this verse 9 is really pointed toward. And it is those who deny that they have sinned and they deceive themselves. So I think you're right with that, Rod. Now, what does that mean about us as Christians and confessing our sins? Well, God has called us to walk in truth. And if I've sinned against my brother, if I've sinned against Bob Davis, I want to own up to that, not to get forgiveness from God, not to make myself right with God, not to get back into fellowship with God. God's grace has secured all of that. I agree with God so that I can be reconciled back to Bob Davis. and we can work through that under the cushion of God's grace and come out the other end with a much stronger relationship. So when we walk in truth, we're naturally going to confess our sins, not for forgiveness, but just that's what truth is. And we're naturally going to confess that Jesus Christ has already dealt with that, that he shed his blood, that we're forgiven, that we already have forgiveness for that particular sin. And now we can deal with it objectively in a relationship with the person we offended.
Okay, thanks so much. That clears it up, because, like I said, I've heard it both ways. You know, I've heard preachers say that you need to confess your sins to the Lord.
Always ask the question, for what purpose? And if it's for forgiveness, then you know somebody's going down the wrong path, because in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So you're not going to get more forgiveness. God has already given you all the forgiveness you will ever need, and it is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So you have forgiveness of sins. So if it's for that purpose, recognize the truth and rest in the finished work of Christ. If somebody says, hey, it's just a natural part of walking in truth, then you're kind of moving in the right direction there.
Well, thank you so much for your enlightenment. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Rod. Thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and we really spend a lot of time in there talking about the forgiveness of sins that we have in Christ, and I think it'll be a blessing in your life. So you hang on, and we'll get it to you, okay, my friend?
I appreciate that, my brother.
Okay. Take care, Rod. Hold on.
Friends, if you don't have a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you can simply go to basicgospel.net and you can order yours today. Again, you can do that right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob DJ, who lives in Gretna, Nebraska, views us on YouTube, and he wrote to us to say thank you for all your hard work and teaching. He says, I've been a Christian for over 10 years now, and I still get stuck on the will of God and how that practically works itself out. Many Christians talk about how God told them to do something or go somewhere, which I don't want to diminish. However, it's often very abstract and makes me afraid I'm missing the will of God or that I'm outside of it. Do you have any perspective or discernment of God's will? And after 34 years on the air, we should probably have a little bit.
We have a little bit. Yeah. Now, God's will, I want us to kind of rethink it. You know, oftentimes when we say God's will, we're looking for what is God's plan for my life? Who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to live?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do as a vocation? But we need to shift our thinking and start to look at God's will as this new covenant that we live in today. So God's will was declared. The writer of Hebrews declares it for us. And it says that this will went into effect when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. So he put an end to the old covenant, and he ushered in a brand new covenant.
Yeah.
And it's this new covenant that is the will of God for you and me. So what is God's will? Well, God's will is that you receive the gift of the Spirit and have the laws of faith, hope, and love written internally on your heart. What is God's will? That you belong as one of God's people. What is God's will? That you get to know him in this personal relationship. What is God's will? That your sins be forgiven once and for all. That is the will of God.
Yeah.
And as a believer in Christ, you have been delivered right smack dab in the middle of that will through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're a believer, you are in the will of God.
Indeed. And friends, if you give through Basic Gospel, you are the reason that we are on the air each day with this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To help with your gift today, simply click donate at basicgospel.net. And as you make your November gift, we'll send you a copy of our 6-CD series called Simply Grace. It's from the Simply Grace Conference that was held just a couple of 3 months ago right here in the Dallas area. We want you to have a copy of it. We hope you'll join us by making your gift right now at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.